this evening to again turn to the book of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. This morning we read the first 14 verses. Tonight we'd like to read the first 22 verses. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, that is, those mentioned in verse 2, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, again that's John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his master, his father, his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, again John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Again, we see in these verses a post-resurrection appearance of Christ to his disciples. We want to center our thoughts this evening around verse 4. But when the morning was now come. When the morning was now come. Again, the disciples had been fishing through the night. They did so to no avail. Again, they are tired, they are frustrated, they are disappointed, They're disheartened. They are discouraged. And then we read, but when the morning was now come. You see, that changes everything, or at least gives the opportunity for things to change. When the morning was now come. And in what we read from that point on was what transpired on that particular morning. And what a morning it was. When the morning was now come. And as you read through the verses that we just read, I believe you can see many valuable lessons for you and I. Because again, what we read here is what transpired on this particular morning, early in the morning. We want to speak this evening on how to begin a day. How to begin a day. I am convinced that God's people would have better days if they only began them right. If they only started the day right. So many people, they enter a day and they almost guarantee failure. They almost guarantee themselves a miserable day simply because of the way they begin their day. And that phrase, but when the morning was now come, that no matter what happened yesterday, when the morning comes, I have a fresh opportunity. It's a new day. Now I can drag yesterday into today, and that's what most of us do. You had a bad day yesterday, and you are determined to drag that bad day into today. And then you wonder, why do I have so many bad days? It's because the way you begin the day. You begin the day by dragging yesterday into today. We want to notice 10 things, and there's many more, but we're not going to go into detail in these verses. There's much, much here, of course. We want to just notice 10 things on how to begin a day. 10 things that transpired on this particular morning. First of all, and again, these are not necessarily in order of importance. We'll take them in order as they occur in this passage. But we need to begin the day realizing that it really is not dependent. The day is not dependent upon my knowledge. It's not dependent really upon my effort. We're not encouraging that you don't put forth effort, but really the day is not dependent upon your knowledge. It's not dependent upon your effort. It's not dependent upon your skills. Again, the disciples, they knew the Sea of Galilee. They knew it very, very well. They knew how to fish. They knew when to fish. They knew where to fish. They were very skilled fishermen. They certainly did not lack effort that night when they fished through the night. But again, we notice in verse 3, they caught nothing. And then Jesus asks them a question in verse 5. And Jesus, of course, always has a purpose, always has a reason for asking a question. It's usually a teaching purpose. And in verse 5, then Jesus said to them, children, again, he's standing on the other side. He's standing on the shore, about 200 cubits away, about 100 yards away. And he says, children, have you any meat? In other words, have you caught anything? Jesus knew, of course, that they hadn't. Jesus, of course, knew that they had fished all night. He knew exactly where they had fished. So again, just as like always, Jesus doesn't ask questions for the purpose of information. He already knows. But he asks you and I questions to remind us of some things. And they answer him no or nothing. We haven't caught a thing. And we, as a result, we have nothing neat. Now, why did Jesus ask them that question? I believe he asked them that question. It was designed to bring home to them their futility. They had knowledge. They had effort. They had skill. But it was all futile. They still caught nothing. And I believe that we need to begin each day reminded of the truth that Jesus taught in John 15, verses 4 and 5. Notice, as we go there, very familiar verses of Scripture. But Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And then notice, "For without me, ye can do nothing." But when the morning was now come, and I believe if we listen, we will hear Jesus reminding us every single day, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And I believe we need to start today knowing that, realizing that without him, I can do nothing. Sure, we have some knowledge, but without him, we can do nothing. Sure, we have a certain amount of skill in certain areas, but without him, ye can do nothing. You can put forth all the effort, but without him, all your effort is going to be futile. It's all going to be futile. It's all going to be in vain. So I believe we need to begin the day with this realization upon our hearts, upon our minds: without him, I can do nothing. That, of course, automatically causes us to do what? To depend on him. To depend on him. You can get up in the morning and determine all you want to. I'm going to have a better day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But the truth still remains: without him, you can't do anything. And we need to, I believe, realize that truth every single day. And the best time to realize that truth is the first thing in the morning. Without him, I can do nothing. Nothing wrong with making your plans for today, for the day, but just remember, without him, you can't do a thing. You can't do anything. Secondly, we need to begin the day listening to the Lord's direction. In verse 6, after they gave their answer, we haven't caught anything. He said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." Now, since they have fished through the night, I imagine that they had already cast the net on the right side of the ship. They cast the net on the left side of the ship. They cast the net everywhere they could think of. But we see the day begins, the morning comes, and Jesus asked them a question in order to remind them, "You are dependent upon me. Without me, you can do nothing." And then he gives them some direction. And I believe every day, I believe every morning, the Lord has direction for us. And the best way for you to begin your day is to hear the direction, to hear the instruction
of God. Because no matter how much knowledge you have, or how much knowledge you may think you have, and no matter how much skill you may have, or how much skill you think you may have, and no matter how much effort you may be willing to put forth, the Lord's in control. And the Lord was in control of the fish. And He directed the fish all night long while they were fishing. And you know what? He kept the fish from their nets all night long. But just now, at this point, the Lord had directed all the fish, at least 153 of them, to the right side of the ship. The Lord directed them there. And we need to realize, we need to begin every day realizing this truth, the Lord knows. And the wonderful thing is, not only does the Lord know, and not only is the Lord in control, but He tells us what to do. He knows. And He's in control. And He says, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Now you think about that. You read those, that verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the ship. It's not hard to understand. There's no reason to ask, well, Lord, what do you mean? There's only one right side of the ship. They had only one net. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. The instruction was very plain. I believe the Lord still gives very plain instruction. And I believe if we would listen, we would receive very plain instruction at the beginning of each day. The instruction was very straightforward. The instruction was easily understood. They didn't have to ask each other, well, what do you think he means? Well, he means cast the net on the right side of the ship. This is something anyone on that ship could understand. The Lord's instruction is not difficult to understand. We make it difficult because we don't want to do what he says. It was not difficult to comprehend. The instruction is simple. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. The Lord still today, He still knows, He's still in control, and He still has instruction to direct your path and make a difference in your day. Now you can get up every morning and you can decide, I'm going to direct my own path, and you'll reap the results of that attitude. You'll reap the results of that spirit. But you get up every day and you listen and you seek God's instruction. I mean, I believe when we get up in the morning, we ought to ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? How is it that you want me to do this? And then, of course, as we go through the day, we need to continually ask the Lord's instruction. But there's no better way to begin a day than just listening for the direction of God. But it goes, we got to take it one step further, which brings us to the third thing. In verse 6 also, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. We begin the day by listening for the Lord's instruction, and we begin the day by following the Lord's instruction. You begin your day in disobedience to God, and you're going to have a rough day. You're going to have a bad day. And many of God's people, they begin every single morning in disobedience to God. They begin the day in disobedience because simply they did not seek His direction. Not to seek God's direction is to begin your day in disobedience. And you begin your day in disobedience, you're going to have a bad day. You've insured yourself. You've guaranteed yourself that you're not going to have the best day that you could have. So the best thing to do, Lord says, cast the net on the right side of the ship. The best thing for you to do is to cast the net on the right side of the ship. And you notice they did so without any question. They didn't say, well, Lord, we've already had the net on that side of the ship. That may be so, but the Lord didn't direct the fish over there then. But now he has. Everything's changed. So they cast the net on the right side of the ship without any question, without any hesitation. You begin your day, you listen for God's direction, you obey God's direction without any hesitation. And I guarantee you, you'll have a better day if you just do that every single day. They did not try to alter God's instruction. They didn't try to interpret God's instruction. There's nothing to interpret. I mean, what else can it mean? Cast the net on the right side of the ship. That's what it means. So they didn't question. They didn't hesitate. They simply did what the Lord said. And is that not the advice in John chapter 2, I believe verse 5, that Mary gave to the servants at the wedding feast when Christ performed his first recorded miracle? But she basically said to them, do what he says. That's good advice. That's good advice. Just do what he says. So here they are. They have fished through the night. They caught nothing. Jesus says, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And then we read in verse 6, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Someone said one time the difference between nothing and a full net was the width of the ship. Well, that's true, but it's more than that. The difference between nothing and a net full of fishes was simply doing what God said. There's a difference. And I guarantee you that's the difference in a lot of people's day. Just do what God says. And you will go from nothing to a net full of fishes. So there was obedience. Fourthly, in verse 7, again, Jesus, he's on the shore. They're about 100 yards out. And Jesus has spoken to them. He has asked them a question. He has given them some direction. And then John said, it is the Lord. John recognized that figure. He recognized the voice. And we need to begin every single day by recognizing the Lord. I'm afraid that it is very common practice amongst God's people to go through a whole day without recognizing the Lord. But we need to be in the habit, as soon as we wake up, we need to recognize the Lord. It's the Lord that got you through the night. It's the Lord that protected you through the night. It's the Lord that enabled you to open your eyes to a new morning. And you would be wise to begin your day recognizing the Lord. And then throughout the day, continue to acknowledge the Lord. Continue to recognize the Lord in all your designs and all your aims and all your intentions. Recognize the Lord. So first of all, realize that it does not depend upon you. Without me, you can do nothing. Secondly, listen for God's instruction. Listen for God's instruction. Begin the day seeking the instruction of God. Once you have received that instruction, obey it. Obey it. Do what he says. Recognize the Lord. Now, once you've recognized the Lord, that brings us to the fifth thing, and we see that in verse 7 and 8. Once Peter heard that it was the Lord, he, of course, being impulsive like he was, he jumped into the water and swam to the shore. The other disciples, they came behind in a boat. The point here is they sought to be near Jesus Christ. Once they recognized that it was Jesus, they were on their way as fast as they could to the shore. And we need to begin each and every day seeking to be near the Lord. I mean, you begin your day far from God. The chances are, unless God intervenes in some way in your life, you're going to go further away from God that day. But begin the day. Begin the day. Not in the middle of the day, but begin the day seeking to get as close to God as you can. The psalmist said, it is good for me to draw near to God. It's good for anyone to draw near to God. But the psalmist didn't say it's good for everyone to draw near to God. That's true. But what the psalmist said is, it is good for me to draw near to God. We need to realize that every day. No matter what happened yesterday, it's good for me to draw near to God. No matter what's going on in my life, it's good for me to draw near to God. That's never a bad thing. That's always a good thing. That's always something that will be a blessing. That's always something that will be a benefit, to draw near to God. And it is my responsibility and it is my obligation to draw near to God. And I ought to begin every single day drawing near to God. You begin your morning close to God. You begin your morning walking with God. You do not begin your morning walking with God, the chances of you just starting to walk with God around 1 or 2 in the afternoon isn't very likely. You begin your day walking with God. Begin the day seeking the Lord's presence. Begin the day seeking to be near to Him. That is worthwhile. That is a worthwhile morning. Getting to the shore where Jesus is, that's worthwhile. That is a worthwhile way to begin the day. Sixthly, we need to realize every single day that the Lord has intentionally and deliberately made preparation for what I need that day. Notice verse 9. As soon as they were come near to land. Now that's where Jesus was. So as soon as they drew near to Jesus, and we have to draw near to Jesus to get to this point, they saw a fire of coals there. Who built that fire? The Lord did. The Lord did. Why did He build it? He built it for them. This fire would warm them. Did they not need warmth at this time? Certainly they did. Did they not need comfort and soothing at this time? Certainly they did. This fire would provide that. You see, once they drew near to the Lord, they then began to see what the Lord had prepared for them that morning. A lot of things have already transpired, and it's just the morning. We can live full days just by starting our day right. And then it goes on, and notice it says, and fish laid thereon. And I have circled and a star by that word late. That to me says they were put there on purpose. Who caught the fish? Jesus did. They spent the night catching nothing. Jesus already had fish. And he laid the fish on the fire that he had prepared. And he did it all for them. And there was not only fish, but there was bread. In other words, Jesus had breakfast for them. Jesus had already prepared breakfast for these disciples. Jesus deliberately built the fire that would provide them with warmth and comfort that they needed. He already had the fish. He didn't need their 153 fish. He already had fish. He already had the fish, and he already had the bread. Now he did later on tell them, bring the fish. In verse 11 or verse 10, bring the fish that which ye have now caught. And I find it interesting that before it took all the disciples, with the exception of Peter, to draw the net, and now Peter goes out by himself and is able to draw the net. And there's a lesson there also. But begin the day realizing that the Lord has deliberately made preparation for what you need that day. And the way to see that is the same way the disciples saw it. They drew near to Jesus, and then they saw the fire and the fish. And if I wake up every morning realizing that the Lord has prepared a fire for me today. The Lord has already prepared fish for me. The Lord has already prepared bread for me. And if I can draw close enough to the Lord, I can see that. That God has already made preparations for my day. And then notice, seventhly, in verse 12, Jesus said, come and dine. Come and dine. Verse 15 we read, so when they had dined. In other words, they had breakfast with Jesus. Can you think of any better breakfast than to have breakfast with the Lord? Can you think of any better company than to have breakfast with the Lord? Oh, people tell us all the time, breakfast is the most important meal. I'll tell you, the most important thing of the day is to have breakfast with Jesus every single day. I'm not talking about toast that you put in the toaster. I'm not talking about Pop-Tarts. I'm talking about sitting down with Jesus every single morning and fellowshipping with Christ. That is the way to begin a day. Now, when Jesus said, come and dine, that was an invitation. It was an invitation. He already had things, things were already prepared. He already had the fire, he already had the fish, he already had the bread. All they had to do was come and dine. It's all we have to do. We don't have to prepare the fire. We don't have to prepare the fish. We don't have to prepare the bread. He's already done that. And every single morning he says, come and dine. I believe every morning to every one of us, the Lord says, come and dine. And when we deliberately walk away from that invitation, have we not started our day in disobedience to God? We certainly have. That's a bad way to start a day. Come and dine. That tells me again that there's provision.
The Lord's made provision. Someone asks you to come over for dinner, you can safely assume that they're going to have dinner ready. That you're not going to get there and nothing be there to eat. And when Jesus says, come and dine, you can assume that he has prepared a meal. And you can assume that there's going to be plenty. There's going to be more than you can eat. There'll be everything you need, and there'll be more than you can eat. It'll be a time of refreshment. We can begin every day with a time of refreshment. It'll be a time of fellowship. Every morning, the Lord has prepared a table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, the psalmist said in Psalm 23. And that's true. It's also true every single morning. Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 4, the bride says, he brought me to the banqueting house. And I believe that every morning I can begin my day in the banqueting house. Is there a better way to begin a day than in the banqueting house? So we need to begin our day dining with Christ. Then we see verse 15. So when they had dined, they've now eaten, and Jesus directs his attention to Peter. And he asks Peter three times, lovest thou me? Peter three times says, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And there's many messages to be preached in from verses 15 through verse 17. But tonight all we want to say is we need to begin our day. Again, this is still taking place in the morning. We need to begin our day reaffirming our love for the Lord. When was the last time you got up and you just told the Lord you loved him? I believe that's how we ought to begin every day. Begin every day reaffirming your love for the Lord. Begin every day telling the Lord, Lord, I love you. We need to do that every day. No better way to begin a day. And then also in verses 15 through 17, Jesus reminded Peter that he had a service to perform. He said twice, feed my sheep. And he said once, feed my lambs. And what he was doing was he was telling Peter that he had a responsibility. In verse 22, Peter looks over at John and he says, well, what do you want him to do? And the Lord said, if I have him sit around till I come, what's it to you? We need to begin each day realizing that the Lord has something for me to do. I can begin my day thinking about what everybody else should be doing, or I could begin my day thinking about what the Lord has for me that day. So ninthly, we need to begin our day realizing that we have a service to perform. Realizing that I have a service to perform for the Lord, the day is too valuable to waste. I have a duty to perform. You have a duty to perform. We do not all have the same duty. We do not all have the same responsibility, but every single one of us, every single day, has a work to perform. And we need to begin the day realizing that. And then lastly, in verse 19 and verse 22, Jesus said, follow me. Begin the day making the Lord your focus. Follow
me. You don't begin your day that way, again, unless some event happens in your life and the Lord intervenes in some way. You're not just going to be driving down the Interstate 75 and say, you know, I just think I'll just start following the Lord. It's about 1 o'clock and I think I'll just start doing that. I'm sorry, it don't work that way. You begin the day following the Lord. If you don't begin the day following the Lord, who are you following? Well, you're probably following the dictates of your own mind. And that's what you're going to continue to follow throughout the day. You want to have a miserable day? Follow the dictates of your mind for a day. You'll be miserable. You want to have a good day? Follow the Lord. Make the Lord your focus. But when the morning was now come, morning is a blessing of God. Of course, you and I can utterly fail today. We can make a mess of today. Now, when I wake up in the morning, I can drag yesterday into the morning and just continue right on down for the whole week. Or I can look at, this is a new day. The Lord is here. I have an opportunity to start my day right now in fellowship with the Lord. And it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference in your life. If we just learn and we get in the habit of beginning our day in a correct way. But when the morning was now come, begin your day right. I'm not saying if you begin your day right, you'll never have another trouble, you'll never have another trial. That's not what we're saying at all. But your mindset will be different. Your attitude will be different. Begin the day. Begin the day right. Begin the day talking with the Lord. There's no better way to start a day. There's no better way to go through a day than to talk with the Lord. And there's no better way to go to bed at night talking to the Lord. Now, if you do that throughout the day, chances are when the morning comes, you're far more apt to begin the day with the Lord. If you just go through a whole day in disregard for the Lord, when morning comes, guess what you're going to do? You're probably going to start that day the same way. But if we get in the habit of acknowledging God throughout the day, it's so much easier to just open our eyes in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. Lord, I love you. And just thank the Lord. Begin the day thanking God for something. Say, well, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Oh, how miserable you are. How pitiful you are. Just that attitude alone, just for making that statement, you can look up to heaven and thank God he didn't strike you dead right then and there. Begin the day with the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of Psalms.